every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, second Saturday of the month here in our Outdoor Living Hour, which means we are talking trees with ISA-certified arborist John Eisenhower. And I will tell you, I know the trees are happy because this morning it was 65 degrees leaving the Whitman Plantation. I used 260 air conditioning on the way in, two windows down, 60 miles an hour. Just loved that fresh, cool, crisp air. And I just know deep down, the trees are loving it more than me.
Yeah, it's all the plants in your landscape are loving this. We were talking this morning, you know, these plants, if the temperatures drop below about 80 degrees, your overnight temperatures, everything kind of comes to life again. You get this renaissance. Even you see your roses that have been kind of languishing, just holding on, hunkering down for the summer. All of a sudden, you get these cooler nighttime temperatures, and all of a sudden, those roses come to life again, and you get this kind of late season bloom. And we love to see that because our roses just come to life this time of year.
My nut trees put on new growth.
Yeah.
Not much, but there's a couple little spots you can see they've pushed out.
Yeah, you know, and the trees need that. You know, don't want a lot of big push just before cold weather comes. But in this next couple of months, you know, Arizona's got a pretty long growing season. In these next couple of months, October, even through, you know, mid to late November, you'll get some continued leaf development. And then finally, trees will start slowing down again for the winter.
And you've got a special guest with you today?
I do. I've been looking forward to having this guest for a long time. This is my friend Dave Jernigan of the Masters, the Gardener's Touch. And he and I go way back, about 30 years. We first met at the precursor to the what's now known as the Shade Conference. It's a well-known landscapers conference here in town. And Dave and I were good friends back then. And what I've really appreciated about you, Dave, is your commitment to not just quality work in the landscape realm, but also your commitment to education. And you know, you really know the better quality companies around town when you see who's in attendance at the local educational events. And Dave's been just a consummate educator and just a good friend. It's good to have you with us today.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, your last 30 years in this industry and, you know, what you've been doing.
Well, we've got an upscale garden service. We service high-end residential clients for the most part. People that look at their yards as a garden rather than a landscape, they, you know, our little saying is that it's like your own resort that's right outside your door, especially with, you know, 2020 has been a very difficult year, and people spending more time at home. They want to be able to go out and relax and enjoy what's out there and not be nitpicking about, you know, problems or having to deal with it themselves. And that's what we do. We are as much problem solvers as we are gardeners because we're there every week. Like I was just saying before the show, we, you know, I've got 40 wives. You guys go on dates. We're there every week, in and out. We see our clients in their bathrobes, and we hear the stories of what, and we become kind of like part of the family, really. So
that's awesome. Yeah, we I'd love to see your landscapes too. When you mentioned to me this morning that you like to be visiting European gardens on Instagram, I thought, okay, this guy's got a passion for gardening. It is kind of neat to get draw inspiration from Instagram, looking at all the photos, and I've been impressed with the landscapes I've seen that you've been managing for all these years, and also I'm glad to have your input today because we're going to talk a little bit about overseeding lawns. That's a little bit out of my area of expertise, but because we're in that time of the season, I touch on it only with regard to the need to be sure that you have your trees trimmed before you overseed, if at all possible, because you don't want to be dragging the brush from a tree trimming job over that germinating seed that's just coming up. So we always encourage our customers to be sure you try to get your tree work done and then do your overseeding. But what's the best timing? Tell me a little bit about, you know, when's the best time to get that seed in the ground? I ran into some problems in my yard and with regard to the bad timing over the last couple of years.
Grass doesn't know the date. It looks at temperature. And Bermuda grass or our summer grass is just going to keep growing as long as the nighttime temps are up in the 80s and even into the low 70s, it'll continue growing. So what you want to do is time it, when the Bermuda is actually slowing down. And for us, I've been pushing it because the summers seem to have extended longer and longer. And so I've been pushing back. You know, I like Jay Harper's old saying about overseed by around Halloween and be mowing grass by Thanksgiving. But
there's also a risk too if you put your rice seed down too early that the Bermuda will continue to compete with it.
Oh yeah, that's exactly it. And for the bigger companies and commercial people, I mean, they have some business restraints. They have a lot of people to overseed, so they can't do ideal horticultural practices just because of business. But if you could possibly wait, you know, because Bermuda will come back, and the problem is it'll get intermingled with the rye. And then once we hit that cold spell in December, all the Bermuda is going to brown out. And then it looks like your rye grass is like, what's going on with my rye? Well, it's not rye. It's a Bermuda that's mixed in. So at this point, the only cure is to do what I call a mini scalp and take it back down to, you know, maybe 3/4 of an inch or an inch tall. But at that point, even the rye is growing slow. So it takes a little bit to come back and then cover up the Bermuda again.
Right. So better just to wait as long as you can.
Yeah,
so
wait. And there's a whole series of steps. And you know, my wife says I overcomplicate things. It can be as simple.
Which one of your 40 wives say that?
the one that makes me dinner. But yeah, you can make this as simple as you want. And, you know, sometimes you get lucky and everything comes out great. For us, we can't really take any chances. So we have a lot of steps we go through even before we start to overseed. We'll let the grass grow a little, the Bermuda grow a little bit longer. And then we'll spray a plant growth regulator. And I've taken this from the golf courses. This is what they do. So a PGR, plant growth regulator, will suppress the Bermuda for about 3 weeks to a month. And that way, when you do your scalp, it holds. And then when you scalp, we put down the seed at 10 to 12 pounds per 1,000 square feet, which is about a fairway rate. And then we'll also put down our starter fertilizer at the same time, which has got a lot of potassium and phosphorus in it, because we're really looking for root growth with the phosphorus. And the potassium really helps the Bermuda. It helps the Bermuda overwinter, makes it so it'll come out better in the springtime. But we don't want to do a lot of nitrogen at that point.
Lower nitrogen with your fall fertilization, higher nitrogen with your spring fertilization generally. Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about the need for waiting in terms of the health of your Bermuda also. Because what I had happen is I started putting in my winter grass as soon as I possibly could. And it shortened my Bermuda season to the point that over about a 4 or 5 year period, the ryegrass started choking out the Bermuda, and I started getting less Bermuda every spring. And also the rye was persisting, and because the rye is so beautiful in the spring, I would let the rye go longer. So I'm putting the rye in earlier in the fall, and then letting the rye go as long as I could into the early summer. And then when the Bermuda would finally break and be able to, you know, when the rye would die down, and when the Bermuda would finally come back in the spring, it was more and more sparse.
Yeah. So Bermuda needs a solid 6 months of growth to be healthy. And if your Bermuda or if your ryegrass is sucking up the light and sucking up the nutrients and doesn't have a chance, you know, you're kind of in a deficit. And that's what we've gone to. We've gone to people starting to overseed in September, and the newer hybrid ryegrass will take the heat pretty well too, and they'll run it through till June. And if you got a mild thing, July, so then, you know, you've got 3-4 months max of growth. And
well, I couldn't understand it, because now I've got a pretty crappy Bermuda lawn in the summer, so I'm wondering what I do now. I'm trying to encourage it now. You were telling me a week or two ago that maybe I should actually give it a break and not overseed with rye at least one season to try to give the Bermuda a good long 6 or 8 month push.
Yeah, because the Bermuda will grow right up even you know, you've been, we've all had Thanksgivings where it's still nice and warm outside. The Bermuda's still looking good. It's not until December when it gets cold, it really knocks it back. So yeah, if you can give it an extra year, but you can't fight Mother Nature. You know, with your trees in your front yard, it also needs light. Grass needs, you know, at least 8 hours of sunlight. And when you only give it 4 hours of sunlight, you're going to have problems. So maybe a better solution, either you might try some fescue, which will take the heat better, and you might be able to keep year-round, or maybe look at a ground cover, just get rid of the grass altogether, and could maybe go with a green ground cover. And
yeah, we've thought about all those options, yeah.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. When the auto attendant answers, just hit number one to bypass the message. That'll get you in studio with John Eisenhower and Dave Jernigan. And we are talking trees. We got onto a lawn there, but I love the point you made at the beginning of that. Trim your trees now so that you're not damaging your ryegrass and dragging it and clearing all the brush out. So that was a great takeaway. And we'll talk about doing a little preventative pruning going into the dormant season now for our deciduous trees. And we'll also talk about the tree of the month here at Rosie on the House right after that. It's the Arizona Rosewood.